This election night, C-SPAN delivers something different. Not just the presidential race, but the state races that will decide the balance of power in Congress. No political pundits, no spin, no commercials. Just the candidates, the results, and you. Follow C-SPAN this election night, Tuesday, November 5th, on TV, online, or on the free C-SPAN Now video app.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
This is The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. Across the pond in the UK, the queues to see the Queen's coffin are now 4 kilometres long. 4 kilometres, start to finish. 30 hours. 3-0. That's how long people are being told they will have to wait in the queue. Imagine a queue starting at the Spire on O'Connell Street, down O'Connell Street, over O'Connell Bridge, down Westmoreland Street, across in front of Trinity College, up Grafton Street, around Stephen's Green, all the way out through Leeson Street to Donnybrook. Imagine that is the length of the queue. People are waiting in to file past a closed casket with a flag over it. I mean, so demented are people across the pond in the wake of this that the BBC, in the next 15 minutes, are going to start a live stream of the coffin, a live stream of an inanimate object so that people can pay their respects at home if they can't face the 30-hour wait. And listen, I know it's a very serious issue for a lot of people and they held her in very high esteem, but you'd have to wonder about the intelligence and the value for money of paying for a live stream of an image that doesn't actually change. I mean, they'd just be better off take a photograph of the coffin and put it on the BBC website and tell people it's a live stream and let them pay their respects. Anyway, this is what they continue to do across the pond. We're going to be talking about royal movies in the wake of the Queen's passing with Serena Bellissimo a little bit later. We're going to talk about royal pens, though, right now. Or rather, the situation with King Charles in Northern Ireland yesterday giving out about another pen, this time a fountain pen, that leaked all over his hands, which would have brought back memories, I think, for many of us who learned to write in primary school with fountain pens, or rather once we graduated from pencils to pen, it had to be a fountain pen. Certainly that was the case in my school. I'm not sure about yours. Liz McGuire is with me. She's the creator and curator of Flea Market Love Letters. Liz, I understand you are a lover of fountain pens, is that right?
I am. Thank you very much, Kieran, for having me on. The fountain pen is a long-held favourite in the letter-writing community, so I was delighted to chat to you about it today.
So why is it such a favourite?
I think that there's just a real sort of romance to having a fountain pen. Now, I understand, you know, who among us hasn't had a splotchy, inky finger one or two, but I think, you know, sitting down and taking the cap off and really having that experience with it is sort of into the romance and the allure of at least letter-writing.
Are you a user then of fountain pens throughout the day, or just if you're kind of writing a letter of note?
Sure. So I was gifted a fountain pen by my husband for Christmas last year. And so I like to pull that out when I'm writing a letter. But I do have to admit that for ease of purpose, I use a ballpoint in my day to day.
Is there just something about the ballpoint that lacks the kind of gravity or solemnity of a mountain pen?
Oh, I think so, of course. I mean, I think, you know, like I said there, you have this sort of ceremony of the capping and the making sure the ink is there. And, you know, you have to test the paper and will it bleed? And there's no change in your handwriting when you use a ballpoint pen. But I think when you use a fountain pen, you can definitely tell, you know, you're being more measured in your writing, and your handwriting certainly, at least for me, looks very different.
So what when you use a fountain pen, I mean, do you use one that has like an ink capsule that you put inside the pen and press down, or are you a real classicist? You know, do you dip the nib into ink?
No, I have to say on this, I use a cartridge. I don't know, but we were chatting today and we were talking about the different types of fountain pens. And my interest has been piqued in a dipped pen that might be on the way home. I might try and find one in town.
Well, do you know where you'll find one? You'll find one in most art and hobby shops. You'll find fountain pens that you can dip, and you'll find lots of different coloured ink as well, usually for artists. But I guess there's nothing to say you can't buy a little pot of black ink, of Indian ink, and use it to write a letter. It's just a kind of a nostalgia thing, I guess, as well, is it, for a lot of people, that, you know, fountain pens predated the ballpoint. So there's something about kind of looking back on those old letters, those types of letters that you're so fond of as well, through kind of flea market love letters. They're all written in fountain pen.
Oh, they are. They are. Yeah. So it, you're dead on. It's a nostalgia. It's really going back in time, kind of, you know, in the flea market archive. What I do is I feature vintage letters written from all across history. So we even have some letters that are from actually Queen Elizabeth's coronation. So in instances like that, you know, you would find more often than not in most letters, someone would be saying, oh, you know, I've had to switch pen because this has run out of ink, or, you know, I've had to borrow, particularly in World War II letters, I've had to borrow my buddy's pen because this one is, you know, gone a bit splodgy. So there's definitely a real nostalgia, and they're very much part of popular culture and of letter writing.
They are, but it's funny, a few people texting in making similar points. Left-handed people could really relate to poor old King Charles today, a daily struggle. And somebody else says, fountain pens were a nightmare for all of us left-handed people in school. We smudged every word we wrote. We destroyed our clothes. We ruined our work. An absolute nightmare.
Yeah. No, I would be of the camp that they would be something to take out for a special occasion, but maybe not write the grocery list in.
And can you see evidence on those old letters as well? And you mentioned some dating back to the Queen's coronation, of the type of struggles Charles had as well when he was signing the date. He actually signed the wrong date as well, I think. that's something else that annoyed him. You know, that the ink was smudged, or you can see in those old letters where it runs out and they have to run off and find, you know, a new capsule or a new tin of ink to dip in?
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. And I think that really sort of adds to the story of the letter. The letters are a piece of social history, just like this story is kind of an idea of a moment in time captured. And it's particularly, in my opinion, you know, you mentioned art earlier, arts and hobbies. To me, it's a bit of a piece of art to kind of see a letter go through the process. And you can tell as well from sort of the passion that someone's writing with, the pressure they're using on the page and that sort of thing. They really are very demonstrable, kind of, the use of ink.
Well, listen, Liz, I don't know where in Dublin you happen to be, but like I said, the art and hobby shop upstairs in Stephen's Green, you'll find a fountain pen you can dip in ink, and they'll have ink as well for you there. Give it a go and let me know how you get on. Liz McGuire is the creator and curator of Flea Market Love Letters.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.